Hi everyone, and happy New Year to you. You're all very welcome back to the Maroon and White Pod, and thanks to Paul Shocknessy for asking us back again. Hercule, we must be doing
We
something,
must be doing
right?
something right.
And happy New Year to you, my friend.
And
I
a happy
haven't
New
seen
Year to
you.
you too. Yeah,
Yeah, it was.
exactly.
How was the Christmas?
Good, good. We had a good old Christmas, like all Christmases go, eating and drinking the usual.
Not.
But I suppose we were hit a little bit with flu as well. So I'd say,
Yeah,
like
the same
yourselves,
train hit our house, yeah.
and just hard to get over it. You know, like with COVID, you'd be afraid to be COVID, you wouldn't know what it is.
Yeah, I
And the
know.
whole house was hit, not just yourselves,
Everyone
but the
is,
kids as
but even
well.
now, I noticed it back in school, there's a lot kind
Yeah,
of coming and
since we
going.
returned back to school, an awful lot of kids that are out sick, and just look at everyone mind themselves. And you know, flus are important to get solved as quick as you can,
Yeah, it
really.
is. It's, yeah, it was a tough enough Christmas now, but look at,
So I
we're here, we're
suppose
back at it.
we're here, we're back at it. And I suppose the reason for tonight again, as Aoife said, thanks to Paul for welcoming us back to a new year. And with new year comes new beginnings, pre-season training. And I suppose that's the reason why we're kind of here tonight, is to talk a little bit about teams and clubs and their
What's
preparation
ahead
and
for the
what's ahead.
year?
And we'll chat with Áine in a few minutes about how their preparation is going for heading into the league.
Yeah, it's like, I suppose, do you know the pre-season? I used to always dread the first night. Now it has changed, obviously, in like recent kind of times we're doing gym and stuff like that. So it's not as bad
No.
back in the time when like the cold and the wet and the
Bit of a
taste of the blood
muck,
in the back of your throat and
and the
oh
muck
geez, I'll never
and
forget.
the
But it is different
sickness.
now. It
Oh,
is
it is
different.
different, but
You're fit now going in,
you are
do you
fit going
know?
in. Well, you're fit going in because you're minding yourself and
Yeah.
you're probably still training up until September, October,
Yeah.
especially if it's club
Yeah.
related anyhow.
Yeah.
But the times are different, but at the end of the day, it's all about that hard work, that basic work being done to get yourself match fit, really, or up to
Well, it
match tempo
is.
for April and May.
Well, you kind of, it's sort of like that saying, if you can't beat them, join them. And if you're not like doing your pre-season training and you decide to come
Well,
in
yeah, you're
and
going to
march
be
every, you want to be
exposed.
behind, and you will be,
Absolutely, you're going
yeah.
to be behind. It's like getting an injury. You
Yeah,
know, you
and
don't want to be behind, but you have no choice. So a lot of girls will be given programs, I'm sure, if they haven't been given them already.
they've started
And
already, the seniors, yeah.
they'll have to stick to those programs, and they're accountable for the work they put in. And that work they put in might determine whether they get a place or not
And
on
you
a
know,
team.
and on that as well, we've come so far over the last number of years with technology. So
Oh, yeah, it's
it's like,
unbelievable.
if you see now the programs like that the girls get and the lads get on county teams now, and there's even apps for how you're feeling. So like, you know, how you're feeling on a certain day, and that will determine the training. So if you say that you are feeling a little unwell or a little under the weather on that particular day, this app obviously sends to the manager, and the manager looks, or somebody on the management team will look at it. And if they are sluggish or there's something wrong with training, they look at the app and say, well, you know, it
Well,
might have
that's
been that time of the
great.
month or something like that. Do you know what I mean?
And it's important too, because player welfare has an awful lot to do with the game today. But saying that, you know, I won't say back in the day, because you're still doing your bit with your club, Aoife. But when you were sick, you did not tell anyone. You
Oh,
just,
God,
because
no,
you were
God
afraid of your
forbid.
life that you'd miss your place or
Yeah.
it would knock you back. So sometimes people can milk it too a little bit.
Yeah. Are we going to bitting soft, though, and some parts of
I
it?
think
Do you
we are
know?
going to bit himself, but that's just an opinion. And look at the science behind it is out there, but look at that's for another day. And look at, before we talked, Áine, I was just looking at the fixtures for the year ahead. We have league and champ. Well, we've the league starting
Starting
quite soon.
the end of January, I
End
think,
of January, I think, is
for the intermediates
the intermediates, and the
and
senior league
seniors,
then is February and
February.
March. So a lot of clubs are probably meeting up if they haven't done
Oh
already
yeah,
collectively, and getting back into it. And
isn't it tough now for, we'd say, the likes of kind of Sarsfields and stuff that are just after finishing and they have to go back into it again? I'm sure Cathal Murray has granted them a couple of weeks grace for the girls that will be coming back in, you know, and stuff like
yeah,
that. But it is, at
it
least they're
is.
fit. Do you know what I
Well, at
mean?
least they're fit, but you know, you'd
They want
wonder
the
the
body needs a bit of
mentality.
rest, like,
You
yeah.
need a break. And I'm sure that Cathal has been quite lenient and supportive of those girls who have been training.
Yeah, because they've gone
But
around the
still,
clock, like, yeah.
even mentally, you have to
Oh, we've
prepare
been giant.
yourself.
Oh, here she is.
So,
We're
without further ado,
giant.
just like to welcome Áine.
Anya
Áine's
Keane,
Áine
yeah.
Cain, from St. Thomas's.
Anya,
And
are you saying Keane or Kane? Because
that
I'm.
depends where you're from, if any.
You're Anya Keane.
Well, to
So
me,
you
you're
are
Áine
Anya Keane.
Cain.
Yeah, well,
Yeah,
then
and
I'm
to
Anya
me, you're
Keane.
Áine Cain. But to the past,
it depends, like.
yeah, to the
Depends, depends.
past you might be Cain.
Sure.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Áine,
Posh is
Áine.
Keane. When you're from down this side.
Now you're come on, don't do that.
The only time she gets to wave the Ardra hand flag, yeah. So we'll give her that.
We'll have to get her a Thomas's one.
No, it was
like, we have to get it. She's half the big. We have to get her big.
Exactly. We've got to be a Kilbacon to blood nose. No, I must thank Linda Mullins for these little flags. We had them at the social, and I said, I'm definitely borrowing one of these. So it's taking pride of place. So thanks, Linda, for that. But, Anna, listen, you're very welcome. And thanks a million for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
With myself and Harky here. And we just want to chat a little bit about pre-season. We were just saying, like, how we used to hate the beginning of pre-season with the taste of blood at the back of your mouth. But it's all changed. And now I don't dread it as much now. You know, obviously I'm not playing county now, playing club, but well, you know, you're fit now before you go out onto the field almost, you know, the pre-training. But will you take us through? I know you're back now. Take us through kind of a week of pre-season training now.
Or when did you go back? When did you get the call to go back?
Yeah, so we started back probably as a group mid-December. It was actually probably a bit later than normal, but Cahill was actually very nice to me, and he we had a chat, and I obviously did a fundraiser there like in November. So the legs were between. You remember, Aoife, that's for sure.
tell us what you did again now.
So I did a 24-hour where I ran 2K every hour for 24 hours.
I
tried to run every hour for 2 hours, but I only got to about 12 o'clock on the Saturday night. I was like, no, legs can go no more. So I walked the rest of them until the last one, but Aoife now see me in the absolute gut drains. I was ready to keel over, I tell you.
Yeah, but some achievement, like.
But I'd say you were very overwhelmed on you. There was obviously great support there for you.
Brilliant.
Oh, massively. Like, I suppose I'd set out with this idea back last October probably, and I went to Robbie Lane or S&C, and I kind of said to him, I said, Robbie, I have an idea. And he kind of looked at me and he was like, oh God, what's this going to be? But because with me, it could be anything, like. But so I kind of spoke to Mauro and he was like, yeah, sounds good. And then it was supposed to be for December, but then a few things kind of came up and I was like, no, we'll go November. And then one thing led to another and it happened, but it was massively overwhelming. Oh my God, the support the money. Like, I could never have ever imagined I'd have ever raised what I raised.
You raised 20, was it nearly 20,000 on you, but you split 15, it between
15 and a half grand. Yeah, 15 and a half grand. So like, that's
fantastic.
I split between Cree and Gore Cancer Support. So like, obviously, two massive charities.
Brilliant,
I do massive things for, especially here locally with Gort. It's just,
Yeah, they're almighty. Yeah, and Crete, you can never go wrong with Crete.
And it's great. It's a bit of PR as well. And, you know, great advocate for both those wonderful charities, because I'd say every one of us in the sporting world will be hit or have been hit already something like it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And that's what I said. I was like, you know, you might not be directly, but you're indirectly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so absolutely. I said, you know, I want to do my part. So I did.
I'm sure the managers and Thomas's weren't. they were minded.
Nigel didn't sleep for a week, I think.
I'd say Niall was kind of shaking his head because they had the final the following week, the Senior B final, and you won that against Clanbridge, and that was a great match. But I'm sure the legs must have been tired. Now that was just the following week.
Yeah, the last 15 minutes, I said to myself, I am not. Like, I made one burst. I can just remember so vividly from, I'd say it was near midfield, I think. And I landed in 21. And of course, actually, it was the penalty. We got a penalty. Sandra Tanyan, she's always good to one or two. Like, you know, she's sneaky there. So, but I remember after that, I was like, oh no, I actually can't. My legs just wouldn't go. And even that night, we were in the pub and stuff afterwards.
You were not.
Oh, no, we weren't. Sorry, we weren't. No, we weren't. Of course not. But my legs started swelling, like, my legs were swollen because the lactic acid it all just came back to surface again. And
the week before,
But you know all of that goes out the window too on you, doesn't it, when you win you'll do anything.
It goes out the window. Yeah, exactly. It's just,
that was wonderful. Yeah. But you were saying there about Robbie, you'd spoken to Robbie.
Yeah.
You did your fundraiser, and how did you go from there then with the training?
So then, so obviously, college was going on at the time as well. So college league. I played only thinking one game of the league. Just with, I suppose, club championship was still going on, and then the fundraiser, and then I think only one game of league left after that. So I was talking to Carl, and to be honest, the legs were in a bad way after. So he just said to me if I wanted until after Christmas or to take off until after Christmas, I was more than welcome to. And I took him up on it because I was like, if we don't take a break now, this could come back to bite me in a couple months.
You're
so.
Not good to anybody half decent.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. So
you get injured easy. So,
yeah, so my first session back then was last Saturday. But we've been training, so like we'll say a week for me, I suppose. We go excluding college because college is only kind of next couple of weeks, but yeah. You're talking three sessions on the pitch. So whether it's two training, maybe a game, or three training, depends obviously the week, and then you have two in the gym. So you're talking 5 out of the 7 days you're training, doing something. And then I suppose you could say the other 2 days you're nearly thinking of food wise, and it's not and so much training anymore. It's not the your training pitch or training the gym, it's it's a massive part, like, you know, and if you don't have them right, the other path won't come right either. So that I think probably that over the years, probably that's what's changed the most with regards to intercounty players.
Oh, definitely. I think
I'd say like
more access to it.
I was that long ago, but I think things have changed in that sense that it's you're now looking, you know, you're thinking tomorrow, or you're thinking today what you're gonna eat for tomorrow, because you know, you might have match or training, or you're trying to constantly fuel the body, like, and your sleep, as I said, your hydration.
A lot of prep. Is there a lot of prep into the nutrition on you?
There is, like, especially days when you're, days before games, or you're carb loading, or we say called carb loading days.
We still know what that means.
And
we do.
Over Christmas, I tell you.
I have no doubt you know what that is.
Celebrations and heroes were in abundance.
There you go.
Morning, noon, and night.
You could do all of them.
Open up what's called a selection box at 10 o'clock in the morning. Actually, it's Christmas.
It's just Christmas.
But it's nearly it's like a full-time job. Let's say you've got your college. I know you're in Gore Community College at the moment, or school, doing your little bit. But it's rumour has it anyhow.
I had to come back.
Is there ever a time on, you would say, when you're training competitively, coming towards championship, that you say to yourself at the back of your head, oh my God, is it actually worth it? You know, what makes you... tick, what makes you want to keep doing what you're doing?
I always say it, if you don't love it, you won't do it.
Yeah.
And it's as simple as that. If you don't love Camogie, and it's like, it's not just Camogie. If you don't love your job you're in, if you don't love anything, you won't stick at it. And that's, for me, that's it. I just love Camogie. And that's the way it's always been. Like, that's all I've ever known as such, you know what I mean? But if you're ever half thinking about something, or half thinking going on a J1, or half thinking going on holidays, or whatever, there's no point in getting involved in these kind of things, because
get that out of your head to do it.
This is your commitment from when you say yes in now in December, January, you're committed for the year. The full 9 months of intercounty, or 8 months of intercounty, and then the following whatever 3 maybe for club. It's as simple as that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it is amazing what a year of difference can bring, that some people want to go on the J1 and they're entitled to do that, because it's not all about Camogie either. You know, you have to live a little, but we were very stuck and we didn't really get to go because we were so kind of stuck in it. But the season has changed now. You have a chance to go away now. Do you know?
You do, of course. And like, I think since I brought in split seasons, it's been mighty, because you have... Even say if you do get to an All-Ireland final or get to the semi-finals, you have at least a 2 or 3 week break, or 4 weeks actually, I think it was this year, before your club championship starts. So that's giving your intercounty players a chance to breathe, chance to actually go if they want to go on holidays for a week or two. And we'll say it now, a lot of them are teachers. Some of them aren't, but a lot of them are. So you still have time before it starts again. You're gone. And even after the league, obviously we have no provincial championships in Galway.
Yeah,
you know, we're one. Yeah. I think it's only counted nearly, but so we have nearly always a 2 week break after league before we go back into a 6 week. We've 6 weeks when we go back after the league. We've six weeks until championship starts. We get a 2 week break there, and sure, that's huge for us, because
it is.
It's a chance to breathe. You know, you've done your league, you've done your pre-season, and now it's kind of a refresher before you start championship. It's a refresher with Everton. So, definitely.
Do you have to say, just for young, if you were giving advice to young girls out there, sacrifices, you know, it's like being in the army. Sometimes they say it's a single life, really, and you're finding it very hard for relationships or to build any little bit of a relationship. When the commitment, and you mentioned there about teachers, and I remember when Kilkenny, especially Kilkenny hurlers, were going good throughout the years, they were literally poached to go into training colleges so that they'd all be teachers, so they'd have
summer
June, July and August off. And it's an absolute massive incentive. The teaching is a great thing if you are playing inter-county. But like, I'm sure some of the girls that you're in training with, Anya, haven't got that luxury of being off for the summer. Do you think that it takes its toll on some of them, or do they have to jiggle work with training?
Absolutely. I have always said it, like, one person I can never understand is Emma Helbert. Like, I've said to her so many times, I'm like, how do you do it?
She's
a midwife. And like, I'm like,
that's tough.
You say, I juggle this shift or I juggle this shift. And I'm like, how do you do this? Like, how do you, go to work 8 to 12 hour shifts. And it might be, okay, you work and then come out work and you're going to train that evening. Or you're working the day before and you're literally going train in the morning and saying and working that evening. Or like, I admire her because what she does and what she's been doing for the last couple of years for Galway, and then to be able to have this on the side, to have to juggle life at home as well. It's manic. And she's only one of a few, like Tini Cormac was another one, you know.
Became a doctor and
played intercounty football and Camogie.
It's a massive commitment.
Yeah, and I just think those who are not in it for the right reason will always find excuses. So, and as you said, if you love it, you will work whatever way round whatever 100%. Is needed.
You'll do whatever you have to do.
Because it's only a short window. People say, oh, county, you could be playing, like we hurled for 15, 16 years. But for some players now, it's a short window.
It might be 3 years, it might be 5 years.
So when you get
with regards to you're all about teaching there, like Joe, they were there shoving them in to become teachers.
Yeah, they were.
Some people nearly do become teachers just because they're like, oh, that'll suit my Camogie career or my hurling career.
Well, I'll be very honest with you. When I was playing, that was my career. That's what I wanted to do because I was thinking June, July, and August, I'd be free to be training. It's
3 good reasons to become a teacher.
June, July, and August. And it isn't for the pay. And a shout out to all those hardworking teachers.
Oh, God bless them. God bless them.
God bless them. But like, you won't, you know, them kind of people, they're going into it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
Into teaching, like.
Yeah.
So like, they probably spend the next 10 years nearly regretting that decision.
It's a vocation, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Can't you imagine us doing anything else, though? It's like, as you said, now the girls there and they're having different jobs. I can't actually imagine.
I can't imagine doing shift work in a factory, we'll say, or being high up somewhere and having to juxtapose and fiddle around shifts to be a trainer. Yeah, I never experienced that. And you haven't probably either, on you, or you won't, or Aoife has.
Well, not really. Like, I worked in Medtronic for last probably 2 summers on the floor. So, I was finished at 2:30. But I was in it like...
Early in.
I was at 6. And like, actually, it's the first year I was in at 6, gone at 2:30. Summer just gone, I was in at 6:30.
It wasn't worth your while, for that 3 months.
There you go. But like, you're in it, you're up at 5:00 in the morning. Like, the night you're training, you're not in bed until, maybe 10, 10:30. You're not asleep until about 11:30.
That's when we only get started.
That's when you're good to life altogether.
Yeah, I know.
But like, I remember, to be honest, it took an awful lot out of me.
Yeah.
For the first while, because you're trying to get used to it and you're sleeping maybe 5 hours a night. Like, you're training 5 days a week. So you're training Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, solid. And then by the time Friday comes, you're not able to actually like move. I'm only 21. But I'm like,
The way you're talking, it's really getting started.
But that's why I'm like, how do people, you know, like, I couldn't imagine being able for the next 10 years, if like, hopefully I'd be around for the next 10 years playing hopefully. But like, I couldn't imagine doing that. Do you know what I mean? I wouldn't be able to sustain it. There's no way, like.
Yeah, your body wouldn't be able to say. And you see, it's gone so much harder. You know,
yeah,
there's
so much harder.
And remember, we were talking there on a few days ago about, we were talking about like cruciates and, you know, like the weight, you know, doing weights and stuff, women. And I think it's been scientifically, some part of it has been proven that the boots are part of it, you know, the hurling boots, football boots, whatever they call, you know, that they're one part, but also the way we're genetically built, you know, our hips are wider than our knees, and it's the load that we're putting on. But it's mad, isn't it, how like it has become so, I don't like using the word popular for cruciates, but among women, you know, so if you can stay away from, touch wood, injuries and stuff, and here's to a great career ahead for Yanya. But we were actually talking about like this whole idea of the podcast, myself and Martina were asked who was kind of for the promotion of Camogie, and what came up in the news there yesterday was startling, really. But I kind of had this thing in my head that, you know, the GAA or the ladies Gaelic football was so far ahead of the women's, like Camogie, but it's not really, because as I was saying to you, Herky, there was 50,000 at the ladies Gaelic football final, and there was 30,000 at the Camogie.
Yeah.
But you have to remember this, and Alan keeps reminding me, because I do be teasing Alan Asher, anyone who play football, and he's like, Arish, there's only a few counties playing hurling. Sure, why wouldn't you make it? You know, like we'd be teasing that way. But like obviously there would be a bigger number coming to the ladies Gaelic football because there is more counties playing and there's more. But it was funny to see that nearly 60% of people that went to the games were men that went to the women's games. So we've kind of said, and Sharon Glynn, we were talking to Sharon. Yeah. Sharon is the manager of the under-16s. And she was saying that women don't support women enough. And that's probably, there's no answer to this. Like, you know, we're never going to be as strong or as physically strong as kind of men versus women. Like, so chatting again to, you know, Pat Canole there today, and he was saying like, it's like comparing apples with oranges, like, you know, the whole thing of...
They're two separate things, like, in
competitions, completely different, do you know? But what do you think?
Like, I'm not surprised with the 60% that it's probably that men, you know, 6% more men will go to a women's game than a woman. I'm not surprised that you nearly even see that, if, like, at any games, you nearly, if you look around, it's actually the case.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what leads that. I have no clue. But as you said, it's like compare her and Camogie is like comparing apples and oranges. They're two different things. Like, you know, the men's game is obviously, it's way more evolved. You know, it's quicker, it's faster. It's just, the skills are that bit better. But do I think Camogie's far behind? No, I don't. But we're still two different things. Like, we as Camogie players will never get to, you know, the speed of the hurling or.
No, that's
no matter what we do, like it's
no matter
never
what we do. There's no actual answer to that question as to why we're not getting crowds. Number one, I think atmosphere is a lot to do with it, and I think there's a better atmosphere. Even if myself and Aoife were out and chatting before we came online, and we were saying, even if it was a bad championship club game in May, we'd still go because the atmosphere would actually be very good. Not necessarily the skill on display or the game itself.
It could be the worst hurling match.
The worst hurling match ever. But
you go to it. You go to it. Like, do you know what I mean?
But you don't think about it. You just do it. You just go.
And you'll be gone early.
Yeah.
So you get a parking spot. Yeah.
Exactly.
And I don't know what it is. That was another thing that came up. Some of the reasons why people didn't go to games. Lack of coverage. They didn't know when it was
active.
And the venues were hard to get to because obviously we, as women, we know from the schools, it's impossible to get venues. And a big shout out actually to Kilbeckenty and to Ballindurrin for helping us out big time. With the schools, my God, because trying to get finals and stuff, and they've been brilliant to us there, you know.
That's exactly it. You've hit the nail on the head there with your 2 points. Like, you know, the media coverage, like, you can't, if people don't know about something, they can't go to it. It's as simple as that.
Exactly, yeah.
And
the other thing on it, this was funny, and it would kind of, like, and I asked a few first-years, particularly, like, today, who is your female idol? And there was it took them a few minutes to kind of come up with, but it was like Katie McCabe. Now, that's a big difference because it was
Katie Taylor
for a long time.
For a long time.
But you see, how did Katie McCabe become so popular all of a sudden? Because of the coverage.
And she's seen on television.
Yeah.
She's on posters. She's taking shots. She's involved in other ads and media.
Yeah. And the other one they were saying, their sporting heroes, was it was like Bundiaki. And it wasn't even female sports. They're saying that half the people in Ireland, this is now what came out of the little AGFA thing survey yesterday, that half of them didn't have a think that there was enough female sports heroes, that they didn't know them. Do you know what I mean? And isn't that shocking to think that the amount of training that's done, the amount of, do you know?
Yeah.
So we have to, as women, support women. And we're not going down the whole feminist route, but we just have to join behind each other. Do you know? And I was saying to you, Ricky, you'll have a massive crowd at under six games, under eight games, because the parents have to go. But why do we suddenly, when we reach 14, 16, 18 seniors, drop them off and good luck to you. I'll do a 5K run while the match is on.
Exactly it, like.
No.
It's exactly it. I don't know. I think if the media coverage improves, like with regards to Kogi and LGFA and all that, like I think this will improve. And to be honest, like if you look, okay, just strip back to maybe 5 years. So we'll go with a 5 year period to where we are now and where we were 5 years ago. There is a massive improvement.
It is getting better and better and better. Like,
but we need to drive it on now. We need to push it that it keeps going in the right direction. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. We can't just settle for where we're at now. We have to keep going with it, because if we don't keep going, then it won't get better.
Wasn't the thing you might have seen it with the club, the club cam. Siobhan McGuire had it on her, and then the referee had it on him, and somebody from Dixborough had it on, I think.
Yes.
And if you could just, it was with EIB, and it brought a little bit of life in the place, and it got a lot of coverage on the thing. It was nice to see
it was lovely to see. And speaking of atmosphere, we'll say, just for example, playing in Croke Park to whatever, and then playing for your club, the massive difference in atmosphere. So, you know, going into a club championship that you'll probably have 50 people at the game. And it does, I'm sure, Anya, it does. It did when we were hurling, and I'm sure did with you in the last couple of months. But it does have an impact on your game.
100%. You as players, you nearly feed off the, especially if you're a forward. You feed off the crowd. So, you know, if you're in a tight game and you score a point and you have this massive roar behind you and it's coming towards the end, that just gives you such a drive.
Yeah,
and it nearly actually dampens the other team, like it nearly deflates them. Do you know what I mean? If you don't have that, which unfortunately club games like all year, I'd say it with Thomas's, you're talking only
the majority of club teams.
Even with the final, like there wasn't that many there. Now the second, it wasn't the worst the supporters event, but still compared to, I know I don't compare to lads, but.
No, but it's the truth.
But if you only had
the lads, like, you know, the way obviously we'll be all guns blazing for the lads the next day. And would the lads come to support you?
They would be very good supporters. Yeah. Now, obviously, some of them have sisters on the team, but they in general they are. And as a very club, obviously, some clubs are joined. Like Oramore is joined with all. Everything's under the one roof. In Thomas's, we're not, but we nearly are as if we are. Do you know what I mean? Yes, we get on very well together, like in all fairness.
Success brings that though, doesn't it?
But it's back to club culture again, isn't it? And it's back to who you are and what you do and getting the team behind you and getting other teams behind you as well.
Exactly.
Yeah, very important, yeah.
No,
Look, we don't have the answers. We hope that we would be able to do something, even by just having this little chat that... Yeah. Other people will start thinking, or maybe you get young girls thinking, maybe I should be going to more games. And I think, too, other sports have an impact. Parents will say a young aspiring camogie player might want to go to see you play in the first round of the league, and mam or dad might have something on, or there's a soccer game in the house, and they just don't go. So camogie suffers sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it comes with winning, though, as well. I think if you're winning, like even... Just going off, we'll say the league games last year, right? Before we won the league final, to then the championship games after the league final, there's a massive increase in the people there.
Yeah.
Like at the Rye, even against Cork, the first round of championship last year against Cork, I'll never forget, it was so warm that day. But the crowd was, I had never seen a crowd that big in at the Rye for a quote game, never. So it was, I think the more you win, the more, yeah. Even in Thomas's, when for us to win that senior B, might only be a senior B. And some people say, like, that's not a senior A, it's only a senior B. Yeah, but for us, it was huge because...
You can only win what's in front of you as well.
Exactly.
You know, you're making progress. That's what it's about.
100%.
And it's about retaining players on you. That's what we're... Like, it's about that's retaining it. Players. And I know you mentioned winning there, and it's brilliant when you're winning, but there's a million other... Well, not a million. There's, like, a load of other teams that will never win, but they stay at it, which is what we want.
But they stay at it. Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
And it is funny, actually. And on the promotion of it, wasn't there... We're talking 250,000 among, was it 600 and many clubs?
250,000 Euro Camogie Association pledged to give 624 clubs. So that's 250,000 at grassroots commitment. Like, you take 624 clubs, how much is that? You know, it's poor, but it's not their fault either.
I'd take
it's
it.
Not their fault either.
I'd have it spent in Zara in the sales.
Yeah, it'd be gone. You wouldn't even see it. Be gone. Don't go, Sarah.
Oh, stop. Anya, thanks a million. We'll leave you on
one question, Anya. What advice would you give to a young under 14 now? She's coming of age, wants to break onto the county scene. What bit of advice in maybe a sentence or two would you give that girl if she wants to wear the Galway jersey?
It's more cars. Simple as that. You have to work hard and be a selfless player. You have to. You won't win that on your own. So if you don't have a team behind you or beside you, you won't. You won't make it. But it's simple as just keep doing the simple things right. You know, get the basics right, and everything else will fall into place.
Yeah.
Just your touch, catching the ball, whatever it may be. You have them right. You have them quick. And you have them fast. You'd be fine, and you walk up through the grades.
So true, like.
And on a final note, seeing as you're a Thomas's woman, when you were growing up, who was your idol?
Oh, well, see, I'm actually Quebecan woman.
Which is Quebecan, you know. Don't that's like, here, that's like her telling me I'm a Garth woman. Because I work in Garth.
Your sporting idol, male and female, as a young 14-year-old.
As a young 14-year-old, or even younger, probably would have been Niall Donoghue, hurling-wise.
Yeah.
Grew up with him. Like, I played backs with the boys for years. So when I was playing with them, he was really breaking onto the goal scene and stuff. So I would always look to him because he was obviously a back as well.
Yeah.
And then as a female, I'm going to have to say probably Therese. Oh, Eve Linsky, obviously.
It was hard.
To think about, but Therese Mara, absolutely brilliant.
Probably would have been, or Brenda Hanley once too. It's
hard though, isn't it? Yeah. It is like hard to think of.
Yeah, but I suppose I'll never forget that 2013 All-Ireland final when they won. So that was probably
absolutely. And that was on the ground and it was like the Holy Grail.
I suppose in general that team and you were it was into me as well that day. Like, so that kind of team was the first, for me, it was the first kind of,
Well, it was the first All-Ireland since 96, so it was a long time coming as well, but it definitely, that generated massive amount of promotion of community within Galway, you know.
Oh, massive. I never forget winning the All-Ireland Croke Park, being there, and then the parade after when you came back and stuff here, I never forget that, you know, that was kind of the first real camogie memory for me, like, so...
And that's 11 years now.
Yeah, that's 11 years. Can I ask you a question? Are you a reader?
Not really, no.
Well, I was just saying...
Are you bringing out a book?
Yeah, what's going on? Am I going to throw the book away?
She didn't bring me a book for Christmas,
There's a book coming. I happened to be in a bookstore over Christmas, walked in, and first book I put my hand on was a book called The Glass Ceiling. And it's about Emma Ryan. She used to play hurling, or she used to hurl with Tipperary back in the maybe late 90s, early noughties. But you telling me they're growing up playing with the boys. I played with the lads' teams. Aoife played, nearly all camogie players played with the lads' teams.
Yeah.
But Emer brought out a wonderful book called The Glass Ceiling. And if you just open the front page and read it, it's like you're reading about yourself. It was about how she had to constantly compete with the boys to play hurling. That she never she never called herself a camogie player. She always called herself a hurler. And it was only when
she
hit a little bit of puberty around 12 and 13 where she'd no choice but to play on the girls' team. And she was far, far ahead of them. And she just couldn't understand why she couldn't play in the boys' team.
Yeah,
and it was just her journey as a young woman in sport being not accepted on a man's team. And it was wonderful, a great read. So if you're bored,
we might have
the glass ceiling.
If you want to read it, we have a free class tomorrow.
Free class tomorrow.
Free class tomorrow. We'll read that even now. You might have to read it.
That's so funny because we were actually chatting. I know we let you go now, I promise. We were how it is actually very, very good for young girls and young boys to play together. It brings up the speed.
We're
everything.
Right up to
and we do it
years.
Down in the what's called. But they don't do it now, you see, because we were playing up until we were 14 and then it kind of went.
Stopped.
But now I don't think they're playing to 14 because now the lads are actually gone.
I'd say under 9, under 11 max now.
It was under 12 when I finished. It was under 12 was the last kind of thing. That was
it's mad, isn't it?
Yeah, because
the funny story was I was telling Anya, I won't say the team we were playing, but I was playing with their dad on 14.
No, better not.
Just a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And
just a couple.
And the other team, when they see me coming, the ponytail flying over and back, and take the nail polish off her, as in cut the hands off.
Cut the hands off her, yeah.
I always remember it, and that's like 100 years ago. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It was so funny. But Anya, get to bed, get some rest. You're going to be busy tomorrow at school.
Very busy.
The very best of luck this year. We'll be there at every game, as we always are.
Thanks a million.
To promote the game and also to support you. And lovely talking to Anya. And you never know, we might get you back on again to see out the year. And take it handy there in Gart, Anya.
Yeah, we'll look at it.
Don't worry.
God bless you. And
thanks a million, Anya.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
See you later. Mind
yourself.
Bye.
Fantastic. So to finish up ourselves now. We'll quickly run through the fixtures kind of of the schools. And
also before we start, and also I just want to congratulate all the new managers, but ratified county managers starting from the top, Cathal Murray. Intermediate, Conor Dolan, minor under 18, Stephen Glennon in Crockwell, Sharon Glynn under 16, and a congratulations to Rory Moynihan in Crockwell, who is the new development officer. And the best of luck to all managers this year as you start out on your journey, and hopefully it'll be a successful one in the maroon and white. And we know that the majority of those teams have gone back already, Aoife, and myself and Aoife are involved ourselves with teams, and we just want to look forward, I suppose, to the year ahead.
It's mad how quick it comes around, and it's lovely to get the break away from coaching and playing
and then
you're raring to go.
It's nice to go back and look at the next 6 weeks, and as everyone knows, as a player or even as a coach, will be slogging and it will be hard work, but it'll be so worth it.
And the good thing as well about the kind of the under 16 and the minors is I hear that it's kind of an open panel. So if there are girls, it's not just a case of if you didn't make that panel that you'll never get a look in.
Because it is. It's a thin line.
Yeah,
keep hurling. And, you know, do the invisible, as I say. Be doing the little bit at home when no one is watching you.
Because
that, to me, is when all Irelands are won and lost. Is that little bit extra that you do at home that, you know, I always say, do you come to train? Or do you come to train to practice? Or you do come training to show off what you've been practicing?
On your own.
And to me, that's... Yeah. You know, there's no point in turning up training and going through a drill and then repeating it again. The next night you turn up training and you show what you've actually been practiced with. So to all the young girls out there, make sure you're practicing.
Keep at it.
Get your touches in. And even though if it could be raining, snowing, you name it.
Well, as Anya said there, work hard. That's what you have to do. What's that saying about talent and hard work? Hard work would be talent over... No, it's gone from
really,
it.
Yes.
I do know it. Next week I'll have it. Give me a chance. And when you have to, what's it? Talent beats hard work. No.
She'll get it next week. Or if there's anyone out there that wants to add it in the comment box to tell you.
Talent beats, no. Oh, I know it. Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work.
Okay, there you go.
Now
she has it. And look, before we finish as well, best of luck to all the post-primary schools who are... representing Connacht in All-Ireland quarterfinals. So we'll start from Senior A and Junior A. Presath and Rye are in both. Yeah. They're playing Munster champions in the next 2 weeks. Senior B and Junior B, best wishes to St. Raphael's.
Yeah.
We're in an All-Ireland quarterfinal in both, and winners represent Connacht against Munster in a semi-final. In C, we have Mercy Roscommon, and in Junior C, we have Holy Rosary College in Montbello, and in D, Senior D and Junior D, we have Calasanctus in Oranmore. And a big shout out to all the teachers, all the coaches, and I suppose all management's principals in particular, for giving teachers the time off to allow those girls to collectively come together and train. And a shout out to all the clubs. I know it can be difficult, clubs trying to get their players when club or when school games are on. But look, keep the lines of communication open with schools. We have a very short window, September to Christmas. So onwards and upwards for Camogie. And I think that's it, my friend.
I think that's it, my friend, as well.
And big thanks to Anya, and big thanks to you, Aoife, again.
Thanks to you. And good to see you, because I hadn't
great to see you. Christmas, absolutely. Yeah. And we look forward to next week. With a new another guest, and we'll talk shop. And
if we're allowed back, hopefully not.
Well, hopefully it's goodbye for me
and goodbye for me.
And don't forget to subscribe to the
Maroon and White
podcast. All right, God bless
you.
You're
putting me under pressure tonight, so
God bless you all, and chat.
Bye, guys. Thanks a million.
Bye.